You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
I love Sunday mornings. I love Sunday mornings. There's a lot that happens right here, is there not? We had a baby dedication. The Briggs family are blessed with a grandchild. That's a big thing for the Briggs whole family. That's a big deal, right? Our kids are back there getting ministered to. I read a statistic that 80% of children who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and are in a regular, some sort of program or consistency, whether it's devotionals or something that they hear at home or are prayed with, that like 80%, that's a pretty good statistic for kids these days, but 80% of those kids that by the age of 5 years old, if they've had that sort of consistency with the kingdom in their life, they continue to live that out the rest of their lives. That's a good statistic, isn't it? I want my kids to have stats that good, if not better. I mean, we all hear 80% the other way, don't we? In all sorts of other statistics, marriage and life and finances and moral failure. I love Sunday mornings. I'm grateful that you're here even on a holiday weekend. It's awesome to have a full house and a great group. You're a good-looking group too. You're a great, great group of people. I love being here Sunday mornings. This morning I have more than I can possibly likely get out, but I'm going to do my best. And so we're in the middle of a series that JR has led the last 2 weeks. I really appreciate JR. It is not easy to be a leader of a group of people of this number, of this kind of diversity, and pioneer new vision. How many of you can squirm for JR a little bit? Right? That's pretty difficult. I also have to say, I so appreciate the elders. We have been in a journey here with JR, Tyler, and Reagan, and myself. I want to say about an 18-month journey, saying, we really like the mission statement, sharing the hope of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, but we need more. We want more from God. We want what's next, and we want to go somewhere. And God, what do you want for us as a group of people in the kingdom and a church called Mount Helena Community Church in a city that, God, you have plans and purposes for? In a place like Helena, Montana, that has we have a high young, but also an adult suicide rate. We have problems, we have issues, we have families, we have young kids, we have businesses, we have friends, and we have family. God, what is it you want from us? And it's been a long journey, but I have to say I'm really excited about the statement that we've come up with, that JR has shared, that we believe God has given us to lead us into the next chapter of the story, into the next part of our journey, our spiritual journey with God. And so we are in this Breaking Camp series, talking about the changes and the adjustments that God wants to do in us and through us, the contribution that he wants to make, the different kind of thinking, the heart change that he wants in us, the growth, the development, the commitment, the uncomfortable decision-making we have to make. It's not just for the elders, it's for all of us, right? I really appreciated what Kendrick had to say a number of weeks ago before JR started. And you could tell he's a senior leader and has squirmed where JR has squirmed, saying it's going to cost each one of you, each one of us, right? And so I hope that you can still like this after a couple of years, like this mission statement of building community and living the mission. But we really believe, we have a conviction, we have an unction in us, we have a motivation in us to grasp on to what God has for us. And he's spoken and he's shared and he's led us to building community, living the mission. I hope that excites you as much as it does me. I'm sharing, thank you. I'm sharing today of what that means for our groups. What that means as a group of people called Mount Helena Community Church, but also in our groups and vision and direction for our groups in this next year. I want to start by saying, I don't know amongst all of us, I don't know how many of you have participated in groups in Mount Helena Community Church. I don't know how many of you, I know we all have circles of life and we have circles of friendships and relationships. But I want to start by saying, I wish somehow there was a way that I could know or I could determine, I could figure out a statistic that says for my own personal life, for Jason Harris, how many times groups of people, my involvement with groups of people, or influences on my life have saved my butt. But I guarantee you, it's high. It's up there. I think probably since my junior year of high school, I have been in one group or another, not just like a wrestling team or a rodeo team, but a group that has said, I've got your back. We're growing together spiritually, intentionally, for the kingdom, to be a better future husband, to be a better future father. I think really probably since my junior year of high school. For me, it started in the rodeo arena. And a group of us who would pray behind the buck and shoot starting my freshman year. And my junior year, we said, well, we want to take it further. And we had cowboy church services happening at the arena. And it was pretty loose. But I'm telling you, by those relationships today, I can still see those guys at a rodeo arena anywhere. And we have a kind of closeness that's not just a competitor sort of closeness or a tough cowboy sort of shield or presence with one another, but a tenderness and a gentleness and a sincerity. And we could crack open to some serious issues like right now, right away. There's all sorts of groups. I'm so grateful for the elders' impact on my life. That's one circle of friendship and relationship that has impacted my life. My wife and I, for as long as we've been married, we have done groups, almost 11 years this October. We've had a couple of different groups throughout every single year of our life. And I want to tell you, we have grown because of it. We have grown, we have developed, it's helped keep me accountable. It's helped me provide safety for others, to be real, to be honest myself with others. You know, there's so many times that we think that we have things figured out, and every once in a while life sends us something that we realize we didn't see. But there's all sorts of people around us who oftentimes can see it before we can see it. Would you agree with me? One of those friends to me is Jeff Wald. It'll be 12 years ago, I believe, this fall or spring, I don't remember which, but 12 years ago, Jeff and I started meeting once every week. And almost without exception, I mean, there's sickness. He's got 5 kids now. Kids keep him up all night every once in a while. We've got 4. That happens, right? And there's sickness and there's illness and there's being out of town. But I want to say, almost without exception, besides those kinds of things that demand and interrupt life, we have continued to meet for 12 years. Do you think that friendship, do you think that relationship has changed me? Do you think Jeff has had opportunity to speak into my life, to direct me? Do you think he's had opportunity to save me from some things? He's got a teenager. I hope he's shaping my and my children's relationship for their teenage years, even with his teenager now. Ryan Dahlke is another one of those guys. Zach Marshall is another one of those guys. Justin Farabee is another one. Michael McLean, Nathan Lucas, Chris Sund, many, many different guys that have gone through that group in the last 12 years who we have shaped, sharpened, influenced, questioned, been honest, and said, I don't have a clue what JR is talking about here. I'm not sure I buy it. Or, I don't have a clue what Jason's saying or what he's talking about or what he's doing. Or me coming to the group and saying, guys, this is what happened with my wife and I. This is what happened with my children and I. That's just one example. But life groups and MOPs. I remember the men's outdoor program. This crazy young kid, me, leading this group of guys wearing a janitor's mop on top of my head. But a number of those guys I end up years later being able to go to the mission field with and draw out and say, guys, I'm out here in the middle of nowhere and there's desperate people who could use your impact and your influence and your voice and your service. It's because of groups. It's because of a group life and a group thinking and a group mentality, a mutual benefit, a shared experience, a shared opportunity. I do it for the benefit of others, but I know I have to do it. I know when I left here to go to North Carolina, to the church that Kendrick now pastors, I knew as soon as I got there, I told Brian, our senior leader, our senior pastor at the time, I said, Brian, I want to tell you within a month, I want to tell you who I'm connecting with there. Not being friends with, but who I'm connecting with and who I'm relating to. Who I'm being honest with and who I'm sharing with. Likewise, I did the same thing when I got to Romania. I said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to connect with Pilu. I'm going to connect with Coley, but I want someone to know who I'm connecting with, who I'm being real with, who I'm sharing with, who I'm also trying to help benefit and strengthen and encourage. It's something, again, I wish I could tell you. Think of it this way. I think many of you know, almost 2 years ago now, myself and my two middle children were in a car accident. And I can tell you there's just one time that a seatbelt, I believe, helped save my life and my children's life in an accident. I can point to that very one specific. But I have no idea how many times I've been close to an accident. Do you know what I'm saying? Especially today. Cell phone use by me and by other people around me, distracted drivers. The opportunity is high, isn't it? If you drive out on the road, the opportunity is very high to be in an accident. Only God would know how many times, how close I've been. It doesn't always present itself to me. When someone next to you or passing the other direction catches themselves and realize their inattentiveness, I have no idea the statistic. And likewise with groups, I have no idea how much God has used those relationships to influence me, to change me, to save my bacon, to drop something into me I wouldn't have thought on my own. I can remember, you know, one of the sweetest memories from my grandmother's funeral was seeing the members of my small group, some of my closest-knit friends, being there at the funeral when I got up to speak. Seeing those people at the back rows back there, seeing their faces and their hearts going out for me with compassion, with empathy, with care. That's one of the sweetest memories I have from that day and from that service. That same group of guys that Jeff Wald's a part of have seen me go through caring for my dad. And the struggles there and my worries and fretting about Social Security and the Veterans Administration and Medicare and Medicaid. I still don't have them figured out. No, I do. But have seen me go through those journeys of life. They know when I'm stressed. They know when I'm worried. They know when I'm overconfident or oversure and can bring a caution, a word of direction to me. And they know when I'm full of it. They know me well enough to not take fine for an answer. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you would, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Solomon has some wisdom in there. JR's wooting already. He loves the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon has some great wisdom in there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. Not saying that they need to be married. How many of you all heard this scripture in context of marriage, right? But I want to tell you, single people, this scripture is just as true for you as it is for married people. It actually has everything to do with relationships and not just marriage. It's worked out in marriage rather well, and it's a good example. But this has to do with relationships. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Like better than one person has return for their labor, right? In the next verse, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10, it says, if either of them falls down, you can back up one, Silas. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone, Solomon says, who falls and has no one to help them up. I want to ask you this morning, do you have people that you know without a shadow of a doubt, would be there by your side to help you up. That would rush to your side to help you up. Do you have those kind of people in your life? Life happens, and we have to have those kinds of people. I want to say in my life, I remember back to Rebecca and I's first year of marriage, which I said was almost 11 years ago. Jeff and I had already been meeting for about 18 months. And I remember having the slightly awkward conversation. I don't remember how much I was looking at her. I'm a pretty direct, confrontational type person. So as uncomfortable as I felt on the inside, or I became, I'm sure the conversation started out pretty close and pretty direct and eye to eye. And letting her know, I meet with this guy, Jeff, who you know, but we talk pretty real. And we share a lot, like a lot. Like everything that's necessary. It's not like the doctors and their little tape recorders. But like if it comes up in conversation, it's free to talk about, right? It's one of those kinds of relationships. And that made Rebecca feel very uncertain, insecure, slightly uncovered. Like if we talk that much about everything, then yeah, what I'm saying is we're going to end up talking about you and I and our relationship, and not your weaknesses, but my weaknesses. And I remember that was really difficult for Rebecca. Rebecca at the time had friendships prior to that time in her life that were so close, that were just like that. But she'd moved back to Helena and moved back home, and she didn't have that kind of safety necessarily at that time except with her family. And she trusted her family, and she saw the trust in me that I started calling Kim and Melanie mom and dad. She knew that I meant it. But she was at risk. She was vulnerable with the kind of relationship I was confessing that I had with Jeff. And so I didn't share everything for a while. But you know me well enough, I didn't just give up either. I kept talking about that and trying to frame it in the sense that it's such value and it's such a contribution, and that actually she will be more beautiful and even better for it because I will be better for it. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better leader. I'll be a better person. If I have someone asking me questions, holding me accountable, speaking into my life, and opening up me besides just her, in addition to her. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want to tell you, life is better connected. There's such an opportunity in our society. There's such an opportunity even in our relationships. I seriously could have caved. I don't know if I could have, but it was tempting to cave and say, okay, honey, I won't talk about our marriage, but we'll talk about football and church and everything else, but not our relationship, not our struggles, not our weaknesses. We'll talk about the workplace, we'll talk about the weekends, but not us. But I knew as a leader of my home that would be a serious weakness to give up. It would have put a serious damper on Jeff and I's relationship that I don't think honestly would still be going week to week 12 years later. At some point I think we'd have gotten bored. We'd have talked about all that we could have talked about. And probably not continued to meet on such a serious level. I want to present an idea to you that is actually an idea of Andy Stanley's, that I just can't think of something better. It says what's in my heart. It says what I have vision for with our groups, and that is that circles are better than rows. I believe that is something that we believe here at Mount Helena Community Church. We're not against rows. Church happens in rows. We're all sitting in rows this morning. I'm not going to ask you to get up and move your chairs and to form a circle, but I want to expand your thinking. We, you know, if you've been here at Mount Helena Community Church very long, we like to keep challenging and keep rethinking and asking God for his heart and his direction in the way we do things. We do get stuck, but we don't like to just get stuck for the sake of doing things a certain way. Like doing church in rows. And I want to say that church isn't just here on Sunday morning. You've heard this before. It's not just an hour and a half on Sunday morning. A lot of church happens. Church is happening right now. Not in a row, but in a circle in each one of these classrooms. Each of these kids on a Sunday morning, I believe, are actually in a better in relational environment than we are oftentimes on Sunday morning, listening to one person up front share their thoughts and their ideas that they put together last night or the night before or rarely the night before that. Thanks for laughing. But they're in a classroom where someone is leading them, someone is guiding them, someone is presenting thoughts and challenges and direction and God's heart that they haven't necessarily thought of, heard of, committed themselves to, where they're free to ask questions, be honest, share with their peers and one another, see the strengths and the weaknesses of each other, both socially but spiritually, and grow and to develop to be a Christ follower, to be prayed for by someone who's more mature than they are. That's quite an opportunity, isn't it? That's quite an opportunity. Circles are better than rows. In circles, there's an accountability that isn't here in rows. Anybody have anybody call you on Monday morning when you're not here on Sunday? Not that I'm aware of. Right? But I know if I'm not at group with Jeff, Ryan, Zach, Justin, and Michael, if I'm not at group and nobody knows what's happened to me, they're checking on me. Not to be nosy, but because they care. There's a caring that happens in circles that doesn't happen in rows. There's a strengthening. There's a belonging that happens in circles that doesn't happen in rows. Naturally, in rows, we have a front and we have a back and we have an in-between. And all of you have thoughts about the other space that you're sitting in. Right? You have an opinion, oftentimes, about, if you're sitting in the middle, you oftentimes have an opinion about the back or the front that shapes why you sit in the middle or any one of the other places, right? But in circles, we're all closer to equals. We all have a place like everybody else. Circles are a safe place to say, I'm not sure about that. To say, I don't buy that. To say, I blew it. Circles are where we can open up God's word and say, I've never heard it like that before. Do you get that opportunity here on Sunday? I mean that you could, but you might get an elbow from your neighbor, right? Instead, we say it to ourselves and we think about it for ourselves. And I benefit from my own thoughts sitting here. Where in a circle, I can say, I really like that. I'd never heard that before. And someone else in the circle says, yeah, I'd never thought about that like that before either. Hearing it, sometimes for the second time, it registers. It's like, yeah, I remember that, but I didn't think of it like that. But that oftentimes doesn't happen in rows. Church happens even here at Mount Helena Community Church in so many other ways. I'm so glad we have a youth group. I'm so grateful for the Schwabauers and for you Helblings, for Joe and Aaron. Thank you guys so much. I'm so grateful for the young adults who've stepped up, and in this last year we have broken through in having a youth group. It's important that those young people have a safe circle for them to belong in, and not just be expected to sit here in a row on a Sunday and take in what you and I take in, the way we take it in, and apply it to their life like we expect you to apply it to your life. They need a place that's safe for them to speak up, a place for them to be accountable, a place for them to object or to be real or to say, I'm going to stand up for that. Church happens in homes. Here at Mount Helena. Church happens in the afternoons, not just the mornings at Mount Helena Community Church. Church happens at my house this afternoon when we have a couple or a family over. Church happens at my house on Thursday nights with our life group. Church doesn't just happen in our home on Sunday morning when everybody at my home comes here to hear and to engage in worship and be a part of Children's Church to serve and to minister. Church is so much bigger than that. Church happens in the middle of the night sometimes. Church happens on the job sometimes. Church happens in rejoicing and celebration in someone else's life and someone else's family. Church happens with someone else's brokenness and someone else's loss. And again, I want to say church actually happens oftentimes better in circles than it does rows. I know for me, there's no other place than church that I know people have my back. I know church has its wrap. I know the big church has its wrap. And in some ways has all the negative judgments towards us as a group of people. But I want to say that has not been my church experience. There's times that there's gossip and there's judgment. And there's things that are messy and hard to go through. But overall, undoubtedly, I have to say, I have benefited greatly because of God's church and God's kingdom and God's group of people around me. I've benefited from people speaking into my life. I've benefited by people having my back and being there for me when I'm tender, when I'm broken, being there to celebrate with me and rejoice with me. It still comes up that we had 600 people at our wedding. But 10 years later, we wouldn't have it any other way. Do you hear what I'm saying? What happens in circles really can't happen any other way. What happens in a circle really can't happen any other way. And it's not just for kids in a classroom. It's not just for people who aren't as busy as me or undercommitted people. It's not just for teens. Circles are for college age. Circles are for adults. Circles are for Christians and circles are for non-Christians. Circles are for skeptics. Again, I spoke one Sunday of my friend Dallas Neal, who went on to play for the Atlanta Falcons. And he came to Christ because of a circle. Because of a group of people who said, it's safe. We're Christians. You are not. You have questions that doesn't bother us anymore. And we can't answer all of your questions. But the one thing Dallas Neal said kept him coming every week to our Athletes in Action, lunchtime Bible study, discussion group, was that it was safe and that it was real. It was safe for a skeptic, for a non-Christian to come where the Bible was opened, where we prayed together, where we talked truths that we all believed except for one person. And he said it was the most safe, real place I could spend lunch on campus. And it brought him back every week. That can be provided in a circle and can't necessarily be provided in a row. Would you agree? Again, circles are for everybody. Have you ever seen someone fall where there was no one to help them up? That's what Solomon's speaking about. It's hard to think about, isn't it? For real, I want you to think about it. Have you seen someone fall where there was nobody to pick them back up? It takes a little bit of thinking, but I think all of us have been around it. Maybe there was family, but there wasn't anything more than family. It happens financially. It happens morally. It happens in the job, on the job, where people fall and no one is going to be there to pick them up. Oftentimes, an indicator is they answer, I'm fine. I'm okay. But part of their confession is, I'm alone. I can't be that real with anybody. I'm kind of okay. But not really. Is there someone that's going to pick you up? Solomon says, I can only think of it in Mr. T terms at the moment. Pity the fool. Pity the fool. A little Solomon, Mr. T lingo. But it is a pity, isn't it? It is a pity. And again, sticking with our series and JR's vision and direction for us as a group of people, we are breaking camp. I'm asking you in this moment to break camp with us. In this, that you would open up and you would commit relationally. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about unity and about God's desire to unify us even more. We think that we're a pretty unified people, but I know that I can clearly hear God say, I want more, even more unity from you as a group of people. That God wants to draw us even closer together, knit us closer together, that we would be committed to one another even more. And I want to say group life is essential, is absolutely essential to our growth, to our development, to our maturity, to our success spiritually. It's essential. We cannot do it alone. We cannot do it with reservation. We can't do it with half-heartedness, with half-commitment. We can't do it without being real with someone. I'm not saying everyone, but with someone. You can't do it without being known by somebody. You can't do it without knowing somebody else or some somebody's else. Solomon's saying here in Ecclesiastes, there's a point in every single one of our lives, with no exception, that we all need a group of somebodies. There is a point in every life, and he's saying it's a pity when that moment comes and there's nobody around to help pick you up, to help that person who has fallen, to walk through the it with them, to make the journey of life, to say, I am so sorry that you're in this, but you're not in it alone. I am with you. I'm sorry for your pain. I'm sorry for your loss. I believe in your goals and your ambitions, and I'm for you. I'm with you. He's a wise man. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, again, of all relationships, relationally speaking, not just marriage, he says a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Where I would give in on my own, I am not giving in. Because of my wife, because of my children, because of my friendships and my relationships, there's a strength and a bond that I know, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm so much stronger because of community, because of belonging, because of safety, because of realness, because of transparency, because of their loss and their pain, because of their gain. And my investment relationally, that shared experience is mine also. We all need somebody's because of a decision we've made, because of decisions someone else has made. Because of the decisions that life presents us, we all need somebodies. And I want to say that those somebodies, I want to encourage you and need to be people that share your kingdom values. This life's going to fade away. This life, for as real and bold and loud and rambunctious and irritating and problematic as it can be in my face, is fading away. It's going to be gone. I'm going to be set free of pain. I'm going to be set free of troubles. I'm going to be redeemed and forever with him in eternity. And I want friends by my side who share, who believe that perspective, and who are on the same journey with me. Maybe they don't have kids. Maybe they don't have kids. But they can be some of the best of my friends who stand behind my back and say, I am there for you and your kids. And I'm believing not just your best, but God's best for them. I need somebody's like that. And it changes my life. It changes my trajectory. It changes my parenting. It changes what I invest my finances in, who I believe in. It changes my success. And I believe it will change my future eternity where I'm going to dwell forevermore. It does change it. No ifs, ands, or buts. Sorry, I'm excited. I want to get practical in the minutes that I have left. I'm very pro our groups. I'm pro circles. I am not anti-Rose. We're not anti-Sunday. We are anti-Sunday's enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's too shallow. It's too unaccountable. It's not real enough. I want to say we're going to be changing our Sundays to some degree. We are breaking camp. Sundays are not just going to stay the same. We don't know exactly how they look, but we're on to this idea as elders, and we want to shape our Sundays. We're not against these Sundays, but we want to add to them and provide circles to them. In this next year, we're going to take something from Philippines Frontlines and something that we got from Jeff Pacina, where they there have some table talk Sundays. Again, I already referred to it earlier. There's a little bit of a problem with us with 300 of us gathering on a Sunday, 200 of us being left in an auditorium to hear one person. You get my thoughts. But where do you get to chip in? Where do you get to engage? Where do you get to stand up? Where do you get to share your thoughts and your opinions? What if we all come to some tables on a Sunday and someone shared a few thoughts for about 15 minutes from the front, and then what if every single one of you engaged at a table you're sitting at in some conversation about that topic? That would be different than a row, wouldn't it? There would be a different outcome. I'm not saying that that's always safe. It's going to be risky. It's going to be hard. We're not going to do it every Sunday, but every once in a while, we may have some Sundays like that. Because we believe in the importance of circles and that shared experience rather than just you listening to my experience and my beliefs and my convictions. We have one of those Sundays coming up in two Sundays, September 20th. It's not a table talk Sunday, but we want to do something different with our Sundays as well. We want to build community through our groups, but we also want to be activated as a group of people that JR has been talking about that who are living the mission together. Who are living the mission together. We're living this moment right now together, but this is not just the mission of Jesus Christ, is it? He gathered, he preached, and he did what to them? Sent them out. Go do it. Go. Come back. Tell us how it went. Go. In two Sundays, we're going to go together. And we're going to form some circles. There's still going to be some large circles. But our neighbors across the tracks, up the road, the Restore, how many of you know, burned out because of an individual set a fire to the back of it in the middle of the night. And they have made a significant contribution in our community, have they not? They have built a number of homes. A number of you have been involved with them. You've lived the mission with them, building homes and providing them for other people. We want to take a Sunday morning and say, we're going to do it different. We're going to live the mission together on the 20th. And so they said, okay, no more than 50, because that's a lot for us, but we can get a lot done with 50 people. So that's Sunday the 20th. We're going to meet here. More details to come, but I'll give you a brief overview. We're going to meet here at 10 a.m. We're still going to have a different experience for our children in children's ministry here. And we're going to give you a window of time that 50 of you can go up to the Restore and help make a significant impact on the three employees that are left there. On the three employees that are left there that could take months to get done what they need to get done to move ahead and get back to the place that they were at. We want to do that with our Sunday morning. Would that be worth your time? Yeah. Yeah. We think that's doing church. That's part of doing church, right? So it's going to take some volunteers. We need some people next Sunday to volunteer to do hospitality on that Sunday. We need some volunteers to volunteer to help take care of children that Sunday. And it's doing church as much as going to the Restore. But we're doing that so 50 people can walk up the street, cross the tracks, and go meet those employees at the Restore. We also, if you've noticed on the outside coming in, we have a landscaping project that we're trying to get these wings on the north and the south side closer to completion. And so we need some volunteers that Sunday as well to help button things up by spreading topsoil and laying sod. So I'll need some sod bosses that day, some people to help lead some crews laying sod and providing that for the community. I want to say, just this week, Sheree and I were with someone in the community who said this to us that we really wanted to pass along to you. They said, your facility and your vision is such a necessity in our community. We are so grateful for what you guys have done with your church building for our community. I'm like, that's awesome. That's part of why we're doing what we're doing, right? And so again, we want to help round off those edges by planting some trees, completing the irrigation system over the next couple of weeks. But preferably that Sunday, we are going to need some people to do some light duty raking out of the topsoil and laying some sod that week as well. So I want to say it's not just for all the muscleheads to show up on that Sunday. There's lots of work that can be done, both at the Restore and here, that are light duty and heavy duty. Again, more details of that to come next week. In our groups, groups look like this. In our connect groups are about assimilation. They're about having a connection. They're about someone knowing your name. They're about you knowing some other people's names. People that you wouldn't necessarily sit in the same row with, but you could be in the same circle with. That's our connect groups. There's not a lot of change to those. Again, they're still semester. They're both fall and spring. And we offer a whole smorgasbord of different groups. I hope that we're going to have about 15 connect groups this fall. That'd be outstanding, wouldn't it? 15 opportunities throughout the week that people can build a connection, that people can assimilate to Mount Helena Community Church that can't be done here on a Sunday. Maybe their kids are assimilating back there in children's church with their friends that they're meeting, but they're sitting here on a Sunday not meeting other people, assimilating, sharing like ideas and experiences. That can happen in our connect groups. In our life groups, I'm just being honest with you, real and transparent. We've had 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years that we would say were continual, regular growth and momentum gaining, building years. Last year was not one of those years in our life groups. Last year was a difficult year. We had a lot of attrition. Last year, last fall, we had 160 people sign up for life groups. That's 98 adults with 62 children. That's awesome. It's not near as awesome come spring if you don't have those people. And so we as leaders and elders have had to have lots of conversation and figure out what are we going to do about this. We're not confident we have the answers, but we're going to do something. Anybody know the story of WD-40? Do you, Terry? WD-40 stands for the 40th formula of a formula that engineers and scientists were trying to perfect, called a water dissipator. They failed 39 times, but they stayed after it, and they called it WD-40, which stands for water dissipator 40 times over. 39 failures, but we finally got it right. And most of us have it in our garage today. It still works rather well, doesn't it? Rather well. We're not at 40 yet. We are not there yet, but we are making changes and adjustments. Here's some of the adjustments that we're making this year with our life groups. I'm trying not to explain myself in too much detail, but to move forward with vision and direction. We're not providing a set curriculum for the groups this year. The groups are more about an idea and a relationship and an experience than they are a curriculum. Many of you remember, in partial default, most of us in the life groups do all the same thing at the same time. Whether it's Jesus is greater than religion, or radical, or a story in curriculum, or a discussion group about Sunday morning messages. Oftentimes, more often than not, by default, we do the same thing. And that is something that we believe works against us and the perception and the experience that happens in the life groups. We are leaving it wide open to the leaders and the groups themselves to pick what they pick, because it's not most important about the curriculum as it is about the relationships, the connection, the chemistry, the care. The sharing and doing life together is what it's about. Our connect groups are about assimilation. Our life groups are about discipleship. We want to promote and we want to release. We want to engage leaders. We want to engage people who have a heart for other people. But pastoral care, discipleship, the kingdom is not anymore on a Sunday morning about following one person and hearing one person as it is about a shared experience as a group. Do you hear what I'm saying? Discipleship is a group's responsibility, is a group's experience, not just one person, not just the leader of the group, but it's an experience of the group. And leaders help facilitate that. They help provide that kind of safety and care and accountability. But it's not just up to them. We realize that life groups may not be for everybody. We are still going to have sign-ups. But we really want to offer all that we can offer through the number of life group leaders that we have to make available to everybody. We want to make those spaces available, but we also want to guard and protect chemistry. We want to guard and protect the care of the groups. If we finish the year with only 3 of 9 groups, that's not very good. Do you understand? Right? So last year when we had 160 people sign up, we actually had to recruit some more leaders. And then we spread people out in those groups. And if half of those people in those extra groups end up quitting, I used too strong of a word, saying that they're going to be there each week but aren't, it takes away from the growth, the development, the ability of the group to grow and to mature in Christ. If a couple only makes it once a month, it's not safe for everybody to be real, to be open and transparent. If we're spending half of group catching the other half of the group up on the last month, we've wasted a lot of time, haven't we? Right? We don't do that on Sunday morning. It's impossible. And it's very difficult to do in a home group as well. So we're shaping the commitments of the group. And in the menus this year, you'll see 4 different commitments. And we're trying to make this really clear for the sort of commitment and the type of group that you're going to be in. We don't want to waste your time. We want to see people connect and assimilate. We want to see them be discipled and cared for. We want to see them have ministry opportunity. It's not one's more serious or one's more or less fun than the other. They're all fun. They're all circles. They're all experiences other than rows and Sunday morning. They're all led by leaders, ideally, who are disciple makers who want to make disciple makers. It's not that one type of group leader is less important than the other type of group leader. It's the avenue that they feel God is leading them to provide an opportunity for others to move along in their discipleship process. Does that make sense? So again, there's exciting times coming up. I want to encourage you. There's movement in our groups. We're changing, we're growing, we're developing. We're going to figure out that Formula 40 at some point. Better than we have it figured out today. Right? In our groups. There's also, we're breaking camp again with our Sunday mornings. There'll be some different Sunday morning experiences here at Mount Helena, and I really hope that you can buy into the possibilities there. We have, and we want to provide that. We want to adjust that. We want to follow God in it. in building community and living the mission. And number three, I want to highlight to you again, in the area of missions. We have been saying it for about 18 months, but every month there's another opportunity out in the missions field. Dale and Corrine Chafee are leading a connect group and a missions team to the Philippines, to Philippine Frontline, in the month of February. That connect group will be offered in the menu, and they're leading a group. Anybody interested in going, please talk to Dale and Corrine. Dale and Corrine, would you stand up? Thanks, Dale and Corrine. They're leading the team, and they will be living there for about 4 months, and I think it's awesome that we're able to send a team with them. It's awesome. There's great needs there. I want to encourage you, if you haven't taken us seriously yet, there's more and more missions opportunity. If you have any sort of desire, go get your passport. Put some money away. Save up some time. Whatever the excuse is, if it's something that God wants to do in your heart out there, there's opportunity. There's people that have need. This morning, my kids blew into church this morning, and they really wanted to look at this picture again today. And this picture still rocks my heart. It's a little baby, hydrocephaloid baby, in an orphanage in Romania. And every once in a while, I don't know if it's God just reminding me of all the opportunity that there is out there, like this, to serve and to care for people. But it's our opportunity. It's our opportunity. It's our ability to make room for opportunity for each other and for one another. And the Philippines is one of those opportunities for you to go and to care for orphans, to care for children, to get a glimpse and a vision of God's kingdom that's bigger than the rose. It's an opportunity to be a part of a circle of a group of people for the next month where your heart expands for the kingdom somewhere else, and then to go be there, not to read the book, watch the video, have a discussion group, but to get to go do it. And there's opportunities all over the globe to do that. Opportunities to have pictures like this that your kids go, "Tell me that story again, Dad." And for God to sink a reality and a truth and a principle of eternity into your hearts again. We're breaking camp. There's more coming in the next couple of weeks. We are a people who want to build God's community safely as possible, as well as abundantly possible. As effectively as possible, we want to be living the mission. We don't want to be stagnant. We want to be on the move. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you this morning. Could you stand up and we'll pray? Thanks for spending your holiday Sunday with us. There's good days ahead for us. This is a good year that God is using us to break ground, not just in ourselves, but in our community, in our world.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.